Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the Sunday after Ascension, is entitled by me as The Greatest Comfort, and is written by the late Most Reverend Archbishop John T. Cahoon, Jr. He first gave this on May 24th, 1998. That's a good one. The word novena has the unmistakable ring of Roman Catholicism about it. I don't know of too many other Christians besides Roman Catholics who practice novenas, and that is probably too bad. A novena is a concentrated 9-day period of prayer which has a particular objective. One of the purposes of our church calendar is to help us reenact the life of Christ and the history of the early church. In that light, we are now in the middle of the first novena. When Jesus went up into heaven at his ascension, he told the disciples to go back over to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. 9 days intervene between Ascension Day and Pentecost, or Whitsun Day. On Ascension Day, Jesus told the disciples to wait for the Holy Ghost to come to baptize them. And after 9 days of praying and waiting, the Holy Ghost came. Today, our Sunday after Ascension Day is in the early middle of those 9 days. Jesus has gone to heaven, but the Holy Ghost is yet to come. Contemplating the ascension of Jesus raises some extremely significant and quite mind-stretching questions. If Ascension Day has any value, it is because it makes you think about heaven. Is heaven a place? Do we really think it exists? If it exists, where is it? Can one go there now? Is it beyond the known universe? Is it part of the known universe? Is it just a poetic symbol? And more to the point, am I going to go there? And are the people I love going to go there so we can be together with each other and with God forever? One of the first things I learned in seminary was that the idea that God is an old man up in the sky had to go. I was able to be fairly sophisticated about all that for a while, until I ran up against the most significant Old Testament prophecy of the Ascension. That prophecy is in Daniel. And what do you know? Daniel describes God as an old man sitting on a throne up in the sky. It is quite stirring. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. It seems to me that just the title, Ancient of Days, the old one, suggests that this is not someone to trifle with, and not an image of God with which we can easily dispense. I'm afraid he can far more easily dispense with us and our silly attempts to cut him down to our size. In today's epistle, St. Peter writes, "The end of all things is at hand." We usually associate thinking about the end of everything more with the season of Advent than with Ascension Tide, but there is a reason we read what St. Peter says today. The ascension of Christ and the descent of the Holy Ghost are not the end of all things in the sense that everything stops and nothing more happens. History has sailed along for 2,000 years since those events and seems to be going strong. The ascension and the coming of the Holy Ghost are the end of God's decisive invasions into the midst of history. When he acts decisively again, it will be to bring history to its close. Jesus went back to heaven, both to get our places there ready for us and to send down the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God could not be any more present or active in the world than he has been since the first Pentecost. What we have been experiencing for 2,000 years, and what we will continue to experience until God brings the final curtain down in his attempt to draw all people to him through the Spirit. We are here to try to bring people to God ourselves, to hasten the time of his coming again. We are not going to learn any more significant or different information about God or what he wants of us. We have everything we need to know in the Bible, which the Spirit wrote, and in the church, which tells us what the Spirit means. We are living in the time of the end. We see Jesus up in heaven. He is at God's right hand because it is a place of honor. He is sitting down because his priestly sacrificial work is finished. He is pleading our case before his Father by showing him the blood he shed to forgive our sins. He is our mediator, our go-between, and our advocate, our attorney, the one who speaks on our behalf and makes our case. We are waiting eagerly for him to come again, to leave the throne room for one last time to come down here and bring history to an end and gather us up and take us where he is now. Here is how St. Paul says it will happen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. No greater comfort is available anywhere. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.